And welcome to the Sportscast, December 11th, 2018. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, and iTunes. Hit the notification on Periscope. And if you're in iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. The college football regular season has ended. The last game was between Navy and Army, which Army won. And one of the things that you see during that same day is the Heisman Trophy winner. And Kyler Murray from Oklahoma won it, the quarterback. And he may not even play in the NFL. Anyways, to join us, to talk to us a little bit about Kyler Murray, Heisman Trophy, and maybe some Army, is Justin Riley. Welcome to the Sportscast.
Hey, what's going on, buddy? Glad to be here for yet another week. Sad that the college football season, regular season that is over. A lot of empty space time between now and then when the bowl season officially kicks off.
Exactly. Now, okay, like people were saying, I mean, I predicted Kyler Murray to win. I think you were not going to be surprised if he won. Some people were saying Tua was robbed. Now, what do you think about that?
Well, like you said, I wasn't exactly surprised about the outcome. Matter of fact, I felt during the SEC championship that due to Tua having arguably his worst performance of his career, that he basically conceded the victory over to Kyler Murray through no fault of his own. Tua was hurt, had a sprained ankle, amongst other things, but wanted to keep playing. And matter of fact, he made a comment that even though he was injured early, that he and his team put in way too much hard work leading up for him to just leave. And he felt like if he left, that he would be letting his teammates down. So he tried to stick it in despite what was going on. I mean, to top it up, to add to the injuries, he had receivers that were, you know, who normally were sure-handed, dropping passes that could have been easily converted into big gains, some touchdowns. So he had a lot going against him that day. And, you know, of course, Georgia helped contribute to that as well. But unfortunately, because of the last game eye test for the majority of the voters, I feel that that greatly diminished his chances to win. And I'm certainly not taking anything away from Kyler Murray. He had a fantastic season, phenomenal. I mean, the guy passed over 4,000 yards, had over 800-plus yards of running, and I forgot what the insane number of touchdowns he had. But, I mean, his numbers definitely had warranted the victory, for sure. As far as was Tua slighted, was he robbed? You know, I don't want to get into that subject. Do I feel a little frustrated about it? Absolutely. I think that the voters, unfortunately, were looking at the final game instead of the picture as a whole before they made their votes. If you look at his cumulative performance, he did things that are truly astounding, and he did it in far less snaps than what his counterparts did. I mentioned, I think, the previous cast, Dwayne Haskins had just over 900-plus snaps. Then Kyler had over 700-plus snaps to Tua's 508. And Tua still passed for 3,600 yards and 37 touchdowns, which was only three less than what Kyler passed for. And one can only imagine what Tua would have done with four quarters. But, you know, it didn't happen, so we weren't able to see. I honestly think he would have passed in the neighborhood of 4,500 yards and probably 50 touchdowns. It could have easily happened because he was having that kind of year. And unfortunately, injury and then being up too high, being up too far ahead against opponents really limited what he was able to do. But in the big games, he showed up. Against LSU, he was hurt, and some argue that he had a bad game that night. He passed for over 300 yards and had another 50 or so yards on the ground, had four touchdowns cumulative. That's a great night for someone who's hurt. He was doing well against Mississippi State until he got taken out of the game. Against Auburn, he had six total touchdowns. Unfortunately, Georgia, he was hurt and just had a lot of things go against him. So I feel a little slighted based on some of his hardships, but I am definitely not going to take anything away from Kyler or Dwayne Haskins. All three contestants had phenomenal years, and what was really impressive to me was the character of all three contestants there. It really showed me that they were respectful people, great personalities, very humble. And this is something that's very rare in the game right now.
The Heisman Trophy, here were the points that were broken down. Kyler Murray received 2,167 total points. Tagovailoa had 1,871 points. Tua's point total was the highest ever received by the runner-up. Third place finisher Dwayne Haskins earned 783 points. Tua has another year. Obviously, you know, you were saying before, Alabama doesn't look for individual achievements. They look for team achievements.
Absolutely. You know, while the individual achievements are very good, they're nice to have. There's something definitely worth talking about, you know, over discussions with fellow fans and also, you know, from a historic standpoint. Outside from not winning the Heisman, Tua did rack up on other offseason awards. He won the Maxwell Award and the Walter Camp Award for the best player. I think he also won Player of the Year, All-SEC as well. Certainly great achievements. Disappointing that he didn't bring home the Heisman Trophy. However, Alabama's focus has always been team achievement rather than individual achievement. And by team achievement, I mean the national championship. And that's something that is first and foremost when it comes to competing. After this, I guess, setback individually, the Alabama players are quite fired up because of not bringing home the Heisman. So there's a lot of fuel to the fire right now, along with some off-color comments that Kyler made towards Tua and the Heisman.
Was so that Alabama's a true comment that he gave? I know that he said something that I stole the Heisman from Tua, and I will do the same for the Orange Bowl. Was that
Yeah, something to that effect. Actually, yeah, I believe it was on SDS, Saturdays Down South, and a couple of other sites. It was made, I think, before the ceremony. But from what I understand, Kyler went back and apologized for it.
Hey, so friendly friendly shocked. Banter. I mean, I don't mind that, to be honest.
Well, that's part of the game, man. You know, these kids are competitive, man. They're fired up. They're passionate about their teams and what they're trying to do. And it's just going to happen. Either if you ever played any kind of sport, there's going to be some kind of trash talking. And definitely trash talking can provide bulletin board material for the opposing team.
Now, the Heisman Trophy Trust breaks up the voting into six regions: Northeast, Mid-Atlantic, the South, the Southwest, Midwest, and the Far West. Murray won every region except for the South, which Tagovailoa won by a 375-356 margin. Can you believe that?
I actually can, to be honest with you. I'm surprised that the margin wasn't greater for the South. it shows that we represented, but I think that the people who are outside of the Alabama nation were really more Bama fatigue-driven when casting their votes, rather than, I guess, wanting to promote Tua for the award, which most of the country, I feel like, has been Bama fatigue, which probably influenced their decision to a degree. But again, I guess you cannot deny what Kyler was able to do.
We got a question from the comments. He asked, have Justin explained why Florida job has more upside than Oregon currently?
my Florida job has more
upside.
Upside?
Upside, yeah.
Well, I think that that Florida, given the talent level they have right now, is truly on an upswing. I think that what Dan Mullen has been able to do with what he has been absolutely tremendous. I mean, after a dismal year this past season, they were able to rebound quite quickly, and for the majority of the season, they were in contention for the East and could have possibly played for more. That didn't quite turn out that way. Had some setbacks, of course. They lost to Georgia, and then they had an upsetting loss to Kentucky, and then also had a loss to Missouri that many felt, including myself, that they shouldn't have suffered. But that's just the game of football. But I feel like Dan Mullen really has this team on the rise. I think that he is one great quarterback away from putting something together truly special. And maybe he can work some magic with Philip A. Franks. I'll have to be proven of that fact. But Florida's an historic program, a program that has been one of the better teams in the nation for a long period of time. You can't hold a team like that down. And given their history and given the coaching ability of Dan Mullen, it's not going to take very long for him to get the recruits in there he needs, as well as to contend for the East with Georgia and for the SEC as a whole. I think he'll be sooner rather than later when we see Florida back in the conversation for possibly a playoff spot.
How soon do you think Florida will come back to its bearings?
It all depends on the quarterback situation. I think they got some great pieces in place there at other positions. Definitely on defense, that's never been a problem for them. The concern has been the offense. They've got some good running backs, and they've got some good receivers. It's just been quarterback. How soon will they get that next great quarterback? How long will Dan Mullen work with Franks? What's the timetable on him? I believe when we have those questions answered, we'll get a clearer picture of when Florida will be back.
Yeah, that is a big question. They're definitely one of the top East contenders. Lately has been Georgia that has been dominating. We'll see what Georgia does in the next couple of years. But, with Mullen, I think they're in good hands. It takes time. You know, maybe we'll see the Tim Tebow days again.
Quite possibly. And one of the good things about Mullen is he is notoriously known about doing a lot more with a lot less. He certainly didn't have phenomenal recruiting classes at Mississippi State, but he was able to coach them up in an incredible way and cause them to going from virtually unknown prospects to household names in the SEC. And some on a national scale, some of them are playing on Sundays right now. Matter of fact, that incredible Mississippi State defense that we have seen this season were Mullen recruits. So he's a phenomenal coach. I think that he's going to do a great job of what he has. But I think the upside that which a lot of these recruits are going to see are going to bring in the 4 stars and the 5 stars. And then with his coaching ability, is going to really allow them to go up to a bigger level.
Obviously you're a historical person. Which Florida team was the best Florida team from recent memory?
Recent memory, man, it has to be the last national championship that they won with Tim Tebow, man. That team was absolutely amazing. And especially with Tim Tebow leading the charge, brother, you couldn't ask for a better leader, better individual, and what he brought to the table was just amazing. Great college player, didn't really transcend into the pros like a lot of people would like to have seen, but he was definitely a phenomenal college player. And there's a lot of great parts to that team as a whole that made that team special.
Aaron Hernandez.
And there's very few. Well, other than Aaron Hernandez, they're made up of great parts. And because of how that team performed together, they did something special, and not many people could hang with them.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the best teams. I don't know if Rex, like the teams with Rex Grossman, did they win much with him?
No, they weren't at the Tim Tebow team level. And they were good, but, you know, they weren't at that level.
Though, I mean, the Tim Tebow days were before the Alabama dynasty, pretty much.
Yeah, the Tim Tebow days happened just before the dynasty really started kicking off.
Yeah.
So I guess they handed the baton, per se, to us.
Yeah, but your baton, you've been running with the baton a little longer than they have.
I have no problem with that.
Speaking about recruits, what have you heard on the recruiting end for Alabama?
Well, over this past weekend, we had two big flips come over to us. One of those guys are from Michigan. Just things are looking really great. We have great potential to land some number one players in their respective positions. Looks like it's very promising. Probably could be one of the best classes, not only for Alabama, but perhaps ever. It's going to be really interesting to see how everything plans out, especially with the early signing period coming up. Of course, you know, you really can't guarantee anything. For me, it's just wait and see. I'm not getting too excited yet until I see names on lines, but then seeing the butts on fields.
According to the 24/7 Sports website, the top 10 recruit rankings are first Alabama, Georgia, Texas A&M, LSU, Clemson, Texas, Oregon, Oklahoma, Ohio State, and Notre Dame. Four out of the 10 teams, like the top four, are from the SEC. Are you surprised?
Not at all, brother. The SEC is the top conference in the nation right now and probably the most NFL-ready conference out of any other out there right now. I would say that they're the NFL light because basically just filter them in. They're top right now, and you've got big teams doing big things like Georgia and Alabama contending for national championships. And then you also have the addition of Jimbo Fisher to the mix. And then Florida, you know, creeping back up, and LSU's always going to be up there as well. So I'm not a bit surprised.
10 of the top 20 are from the SEC.
Not surprised at all, brother. I mean, I know I'm have an SEC bias, but it's just the proof's in the pudding, my friend. Just been the most consistently good conference over more than the past decade.
Back to Alabama, what have you heard of the Tua's injury report? Is he healing up? I heard he also has a shoulder issue as well.
No, I hadn't heard much on the shoulder issue, but as far as the ankle, he assures everybody that things are looking good. I believe he's out of the boot now. If you watched the Heisman Trophy ceremony, you saw that he was out of the boot.
Yeah.
How good is his mobility? Not really sure. It's promising, and he's assuring everybody he's going to be ready to go. You know, just how good is his health level going to be in the next 3 weeks? Not really sure. But I can guarantee you that he is going to be on that field taking that first snap, and he's going to be going 100%.
Yeah, the preparation for that, I think it'd be just right, you know, where they left off. Tua will start the first half. And, of course, if things go well, if things are blowing out in the first half, we'll see Jalen Hurts come in a little bit and just play some ball. But like you were saying, you know, a quick preview of what – I mean, obviously our final preview for this game would be in a couple of weeks. But Oklahoma still has no defense. You don't think it'll be much of a matchup?
Defensively, I think they're ranked in the hundreds. So, yeah, they're not very good at all.
Let's go to the numbers.
Yeah, I mean, it's if I was reading that correctly, yeah, they definitely will not be teaching any how-to videos when it comes to defense. Not trying to be disrespectful, just they're just not really typical of what the Oklahoma teams are. For whatever reason, this season and the last season, They've been giving up a lot more. Typically, Oklahoma has a good defense, and they have a lot of good players from that defense go to the NFL. But definitely that is a struggling point for them. Of course, I'm sure they're going to be bombarded by this every day up until the football playoff. So I'm sure it's going to get them playing a little harder, practicing a little harder, studying film a little more, and they're going to be playing probably a lot better, definitely working on assignments, things like of that nature. Yeah. But if, the paper says they're not good, and it does set up well for this high-powered Alabama offense.
And can the defense, can Alabama's defense handle Kyler Murray?
Can anybody really handle Kyler Murray? I guess the key word would be, can Alabama contain Kyler Murray, limit him to doing less than what he's accustomed to? I think that the biggest thing is don't allow him to do as much damage that he typically does. He's going to get his because he's that good. He's the Heisman Trophy winner for a reason. It's just a matter of, you know, not letting him get any extra. Try to contain what he does. Keep a spy on that kid. And just, you know, don't miss your assignments. Don't make dumb mistakes. Don't make mental errors. You got to be on your game emotionally and mentally for this guy. Don't give up the easy stuff to him. But I will say on paper, he hasn't faced a physical defense like this yet because the Big 12 doesn't boast that. I think he's going to have a little bit tougher sledding than what he's accustomed to. But I think he's going to be up to the challenge. Just how good is he going to be? That's the question.
And we shall see. Obviously, Alabama has the whole package. So we'll definitely have that preview in a few weeks. The game will be on December 29th, so it's going to be a pretty – we'll probably have the show the week of Christmas, so we'll definitely be looking forward to that. Amari Cooper, his career has been rejuvenated with Dallas Cowboys. He's become the main guy and definitely has brought Dallas back into the fray. Are you happy to see your man back?
Absolutely. You know what? The thing is, everybody thought that Amari Cooper – was done. They thought he disappeared. That we're going to see him on the next NFL Where Are They Now videos, or you know, another one on the list of the Alabama busts. Overhyped player come from Alabama. Another one not making it. No, wrong. All Amari Cooper needed to do was get the heck out of Oakland. I mean, that is just a freaking wasteland of just depravity. And he got out of there. He got to a better situation, got to a better team, better quarterback play. He has help. He has right attitudes, right mindsets around him. And he's got people there allowing him to do what he's capable of doing. I'm not surprised that he's doing this at all. Matter of fact, I think he's playing pissed off because everybody – you know, decide to sleep on him. You can't sleep on Amari, brother. He is going, he's going balls to the wall, and his son, he's going to be in that Pro Bowl. But, you know, it's just been amazing to see him, his presence, and what it's meant to Dallas. Because it's added an extra dimension to that offense that was not there. And it's allowed Ezekiel Elliott to take his game to another level because he's not having to carry the load. Yeah, and Dak on the other side, he has his bumps and bruises and has his what-the-hell moments, but he's playing significantly better. And the thing is, all he needed was a good receiver. He needed that extra dynamic to the offense that the Cowboys, shame on them, have failed to address until that big trade. And now all of a sudden, boom, a new team is born. If they win next week, they clinch part of the NFC, and they're going to the playoffs.
You think it was a smart move what Dallas did to trade their first-round pick for Amari?
Absolutely. I mean, my gosh, the man is just blowing out the stat book week after week. I mean, he had over 200 yards this past week and three touchdowns. Insane, man.
He's only 24, by the way.
But he's only 24.
People make it sound like he's 30.
According to experts, he's another one of those failed Alabama players. Ah, yeah, failed. Matter of fact, all you little people who are criticizing Alabama players in the NFL, week after week, Alabama players are having the greatest impact on their teams than any other team in the NFL right now. Kenyon Drake, go Dolphins, fins up.
Who do you think will end up having a good career in the NFL, Cooper, Julio Jones, or Drake?
Well, obviously Julio Jones, man. That guy is stuff that the stat books are created for. That guy is doing things that are legendary. There's no denying that. I think Amari Cooper is going to have a great career too. You know, as long as he's healthy, he's with the right team, and you know, right situation. But I think of the three, Julio Jones is going to be the one that, you know, we talk about decades from now. Kenyon Drake's really good. Still has a lot of time to grow, mature. And he's one of those little wait and see type players. It's been exciting to watch what he's been able to do for the Dolphins, rushing the ball as well as catching the ball and then returning the ball. His all purpose contributions have been really great for the Dolphins.
What do you think was going on with Julio in Atlanta? You think it's just the system, the coaching? What's not connecting with there?
You know, I'm not really sure because it seems like Atlanta as a whole really has taken a downward plummet, and they're not that far removed from their Super Bowl appearance. So it has to be, you know, some coaching, some front office stuff, probably a lot of behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah, because we're not kind of was not going to training camp early on for a little bit because of a contract issue.
Right, which was really surprising to hear about Julio Jones. You never really hear about him being one of those money guys, one of those guys that holds out to get bigger contracts. You know, that was the case. So you kind of got to wonder, are there other factors that are coming into play that he's just not happy with?
Yeah. We'll see what happens with Atlanta. I really do think maybe a move might be good for Julio. Maybe join Dallas, you know, get things a little bit more interesting for
holy jeez. Him and Cooper together. Wow.
I assume you saw like the last play of the Dolphins and Patriots, but I think Kenyon Drake was involved with that.
Absolutely. Kenyon Drake is the one who in fact scored that final touchdown to give the Dolphins the miracle in Miami. Roll Tide.
Yeah, that was something definitely Alabama players or Alabama wide receivers definitely had a good Sunday. It was last minute of the game. I think the Patriots had a 99% chance of winning. It was 7 seconds left. Tannehill passed the ball, and then Kenny Stills handed the ball back into Drake. Drake, I mean, he was, you know, surpassing a few defenders. The last defender was Gronk, and, you know, Gronk is not known to be a defender, and it was easy money all the way then.
Wasn't that great? I think that was the icing on the cake was Gronk missing that tackle or attempted tackle, if you want to call it that.
Yeah, and, you know, I always had a feeling that the Dolphins were going to beat Patriots, always in overtime. I've seen these wins before. But congratulations to the Dolphins. Their playoff hopes are still alive. But, like, you know, like you were saying, a lot of teams are just coming in last minute. Dallas, the Seahawks, man, they're doing really well. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens in the NFL.
Absolutely.
Obviously, you know, Justin does watch the NFL a little bit. Not as hardcore as Jeff, but definitely he definitely keeps an eye on it on Sundays because there's nothing else to watch on Sundays.
Right.
Anyways,
absolutely.
Before game predictions, do you have anything else to share?
No, I'm a little salty right now because my Ravens couldn't quite put together and finish off the Chiefs, but still been playing significantly better over the past several weeks. And even though they didn't get that much needed win, they're still in the playoff hunt where some weeks back, a lot of people have written them off for dead, but they still have a shot. A lot of things need to happen their way. They definitely need to do their part but like where they are now as opposed to where they were some weeks back.
Are you a big Lamar Jackson fan?
I appreciate what he's done and what he's added to the offense. I think he's going to need to pick up his game from a passing standpoint if he really wants to take the Ravens to the next level. I still think that he relies way too much on his running ability, and that can only get you so far for so long in the NFL. So I think he's doing good things, and I'm pleased with what he's doing, but he's going to have to open up his arsenal in order, not just for me to be happy about it, but to really take over as the guy in Baltimore.
You remember him in Louisville?
Yeah, absolutely. How can you forget what he was doing, man? The dude was video game, man. It wasn't even real at times.
Well, that leads us to game predictions. We have no college games to predict, but are you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's go Chargers at the Chiefs, Thursday Night Football.
Man, this is an exciting matchup. Of course, Chiefs are the hot topic every week because of Mahomes and what they've been able to do. But the San Diego Chargers are actually one of the teams that are really good that aren't really getting the publicity that they deserve. And I think that Kansas City has had some close calls recently. I think this week San Diego's got them. I think Phillip Rivers leads them to a victory.
Chargers win. Texans at the Jets.
Well, the Jets did look better last week. I believe that they're not going to be good enough to stop this hot Texas train, man. Definitely Texans all the way, brother.
Have you been impressed with Sam Darnold so far?
Kind of, sort of. Not really.
Browns.
I'm impressed with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. Baker Mayfield and the Browns at the Broncos in Denver.
They should be able to win, but you know what? I think that Cleveland's got this one. I think Baker Mayfield and company are getting better each week, and I think they're going to get this one. And believe it or not, they're actually still in the playoff hunt. Of course, wow. They have to win the rest of their games and get some help. But they're still in the hunts, so to speak. But I think they win this week.
Yeah, definitely. The Browns are definitely they're doing way better than last year. That I can tell you.
Absolutely. And it's good to see them start to come around and start to take on a new image from what they have accustomed to.
The Dolphins at the Vikings, which, by the way, the Vikings fired a coach today.
Yeah, they're offensive coordinator,
yeah,
I believe.
So...
Well, the biggest thing is, can Miami respond after this huge emotional victory against the Patriots? And then, you know, the Vikings are just a mess, and they're kind of sputtering, especially with such high expectations going into this season. I think that the Dolphins are going to win this one again. I don't think that the Vikings know which way is up right now. And I just think that the Dolphins are playing too good to lose this game. So I think that Kenyon Drake and company are going to get it done again.
The Hot Boys at the Colts.
The Hot Boys, isn't that great? Man, I think this is Dallas's big show-me moment. Show me that you guys are for real. Show me that you guys are ready to go to the playoffs. You know, they're going up against a good Andrew Luck led Colts team. I gotta go with the Hot Boys again, man. I think it's gonna be hard to slow down Amari Cooper and that crew, and that a great defense is just playing lights out. It's hard to slow them down again, brother. I think Cowboys get another one.
The Packers at the Bears.
Bears win, brother. This is the Bears' year. They're going to get in the playoff, and they're going to do good things. I just like the Bears.
The Bears.
Packers just don't know where they are right now.
Are you a Trubisky fan?
I'm getting there. I like the kid. My jury's still out. But I think he's doing some good things, and it looks like he's maturing and growing. And becoming more consistent. So I like what I'm seeing from him so far. He ain't giving me any reason to cheer against him.
The Seahawks at the Niners.
Well, I'm sorry. Richard Sherman's going to get burned by Russell Wilson and his crew. Seattle moves ahead with another victory towards the playoffs.
Biggest game of the weekend, the Patriots at the Steelers.
If anybody can bounce back from a defeat like last week, it's the Patriots. And I think they get together and they show us why they're one of the best teams in the NFL year after year. They beat the Steelers.
Keep in mind, if Pittsburgh loses, this will be their fourth game losing streak.
Unfortunately, man, it's going to be number four.
Eagles at the Rams.
Eagles are discombobulated right now. Rams are doing very well. They're going to win this game.
The Saints at the Carolina Panthers.
Saints win just because I don't like Carolina and Cam Newton. And plus, New Orleans is just playing on another level, man. They are driven, and they are ready to go and get in the playoffs and do something big.
And random question, when is a good time to put up your Christmas tree?
After Thanksgiving. I believe the first week of December. Don't rush it. Enjoy the people who try to do it before Thanksgiving are ridiculous. Thanksgiving was one of the best holidays ever, but it doesn't get the respect it deserves, man. So that's my answer.
And what's your favorite Christmas movie?
Favorite Christmas movie? Christmas Vacation, buddy.
You know, I guess it's like I know he's gonna say that. I mean, I just couldn't think of any other movie that could beat. Maybe Jingle All the Way, but no, Christmas Vacation tops it.
Jingle All the Way. Well, classic it is, but you know, and everybody loves a little Schwarzenegger during Christmas. You can't beat Clark Griswold.
Is that Schwarzenegger's only Christmas movie?
Yes.
Yeah, you're right. Wow. You would think he would do more.
We love it, but he was denied.
Anyways, Justin, how can people reach you and talk to you about Christmas movies, or what is Alabama going to do in the next 3 weeks?
Simple, email me 121training, the number 121 spelled out, training@gmail.com. Facebook /121training, at 121training on Instagram and Twitter.
And keep in mind, keep Justin in mind how stay in shape during Christmas, and then after Christmas, if you did not reach him, you can reach him afterwards to get on that New Year diet.
Absolutely. I'm here. Come on down.
Justin's still lifting during Christmas. You could go to his Instagram, and you see him lift 400-pound barbells. So that's definitely his thing to do. Anyways, a couple more weeks till the bowl games. Obviously, we'll have the smaller bowl games before the Alabama games. So we'll definitely be previewing that. There's a few, you know, big games that we'll be eyeing on. And, of course, we got the NFL. It's going to get busier this month. There'll be games on Saturday. And I hope you follow us on the Sportscast. Justin, I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
Glad to be here again, brother. Roll Tide.